was inauspicious. Good evening. This is Alex Steinberg. I'm the pro tem chair of the Pacifica National Board. I am convening this meeting of the Pacifica National Board. The time is 8:42 p.m., and it's February 6, 2020. Madam Secretary, could you please take the roll?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, you can.
Yes, we can.
Grace Aaron is here. Robin Collier?
Present.
Hey, okay. Chris Corey? Bill Crozier?
Here, sorry. Oh, here.
Bill's here.
All right. Okay. Donald Goldmacher? Ann Goodman?
Here.
Rhonda Garner?
Here.
Sabrina Jacobs?
Here.
Wally James? Wally James? Wayne Lark?
Wayne's here.
Okay. Martha Peterson?
Here.
Right. Ron Pinchback?
Here.
Ralph Pointer?
Here.
Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Okay. Sean Rose?
Here.
Okay. Eileen Rosen?
Here.
Okay. Mansour Sabah?
Hazir.
James Sagerton?
Here.
Heather Gray? Okay. Nancy Sorden?
Present.
Right. Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Tom Voorhees?
Here.
Okay. Let me count up. I'm sure we have quorum. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 members present. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Before we proceed, I just want to welcome to the board our newest member, Rhonda Gardner. Rhonda is replacing a director from KPFT. Welcome to the Pacifica National Board, Ms. Gardner.
Thank you, Alex.
Okay. The next item of business is the election of a chair pro tem. Do we have any nominations?
This is Grace. I'd like to nominate Alex.
Second, Nancy.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Okay. Seeing no other nominations, Alex Steinberg is the pro tem chair for this session. The next item of business is the nomination election of the vice chair pro tem. Do we have any nominations?
James for Dwayne Lark.
Okay. Dwayne has been nominated. Mr. Lark, are you on the call? Do you accept the nomination?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any other nominations?
Bill.
You have another nomination, Mr. Crozier?
Yes, I'd like to nominate Jan Goodman, please.
Okay. Jan, do you accept the nomination? Ms. Goodman? Not getting any answer. Do we have any other nominations?
Bill, let me nominate Eileen.
Eileen, do you accept the nomination?
No, I don't.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Okay. Seeing no further nominations, we only have one director running for the vice chair position. Are there any objections or abstentions or anything?
Bill, please list me as objecting.
Okay.
Mansoor as well.
Okay. Mr. Crozier and Mr. Sabat will be listed in the minutes as objecting to the nomination and election of Mr. Lark. If there are no further objections, then Mr. Lark is the vice chair pro tem for this session.
Okay. Request for information. What would be the nature of the objection if there's only one person nominated and available?
Well, the objection is
you don't like them?
They don't want to see that person in that position. They don't have to explain why.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to the next item is the nomination election of the secretary pro tem. Do we have any nominations?
James for Grace Aaron.
Okay. Ms. Aaron, do you accept?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any other nominations? Okay. Are there any objections or?
Mansoor.
Okay, Mansoor, you want to be noted as objecting? Okay. Any other objections? Okay, seeing no other objections, and since there's only one candidate, Ms. Grace Aaron is the secretary pro tem for this session. And the next item of business is excused absences. I don't know who requested an excused absence, but I did get a request for an excused absence from Heather Gray. Are there any other requests for excused absences? Okay. Can we have a motion to excuse those who requested an excused absence?
James, so moved.
We have a second?
Tom seconds.
Okay. Are there any objections to excusing those who request an excused absence, which at this point is only Heather Gray, as far as I know? Okay. Seeing no objections, then that member is excused from this session. The next item of business is the identification of timekeepers. Do we have a volunteer to do the timekeeping for the topics?
Bill, I can do that.
Bill, okay. And do we have another volunteer for the people, timekeeper for the people? Basically, you get 90 seconds for each person, so somebody has to keep track of that and provide us a warning, say, 10 seconds before the time expires. And anybody want to volunteer for that?
This is Lawrence. I volunteer.
Oh, thank you, Lawrence. Okay. Okay, then... Okay. Before we go on to agenda approval, I just want to make an announcement that we have a time certain, at least on if this agenda is adopted, of 10 p.m. for the board to move into closed session to consider some urgent legal and financial matters. That's my announcement. Okay, we're now up to the agenda. Can we have a motion to approve the agenda as circulated? And let me quickly read the highlights of the draft agenda for the benefit of the public.
Chair, Mansoor can be recognized, please.
Do you have something to say about the draft agenda before
I read it? Something about my participation. I am involved with the KPFK's fund drive, and I might be dropping out in and out, especially with the closed session. So I just want to know if you don't hear from me, I'm answering phone calls or I'm dropping out and calling back in.
Okay, well, thank you for letting us know. Okay, so the way the agenda reads right now, we just did items number one and two. Item number three is agenda approval. That's a five-minute item. Item number four is minutes approval. That's a three-minute item. Then we have an item called the bylaws amendment election update. It's a 30-minute item, which will include the participation of the National Election Supervisor. Item number six is a report from the Interim Executive Director. It's a seven-minute item. That's followed by a motion about the disbursement of windfall income. That's a 15-minute item. That's followed by a discussion of scheduling of mediation sessions. That's a 15-minute item. And then we're set to adjourn at 10 p.m. So, do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
Chair, this is Lawrence. I'd like to be recognized.
Okay, Lawrence.
Yeah, I submitted a motion today.
Lawrence, we can't discuss that until we have a motion to approve the agenda, and then we can begin the discussion on changing the agenda.
Okay.
I didn't catch it. Who said what?
Make the motion.
James, so moved.
James, stop it.
Okay. Lauren, I'll give credit to Lauren for making that motion. James, you want to second it?
Yes, second.
Okay. Okay, the floor is now
Mr.
open.
Mr. Chair, point of information?
Yes.
Okay, I saw Lawrence's motion. I added it to the agenda, which I sent out a short time ago to the whole PNB. It's the last motion before adjournment. Recent open session agenda.
Okay, I thought I was reading the most recent open session agenda. Apparently not.
Well, Lawrence, what sent it after 5 p. After 8 p.m. Eastern time. So I didn't see it until for a time ago. I did send out an amended agenda.
Okay, let me see if I can retrieve that version of the agenda before I go on. Give me a minute.
At 5:39, Chair, that's when it was sent out.
I see it. Okay. All right. Okay. It's there. It's. Let me.
There's a typo, but I'll correct that typo.
Okay. The new motion says motion from KPFA listener director about court documents. Okay, that's it. Okay, so
Bill for the stack.
Okay, I'll get Bill. Floor is yours.
Okay, a little over an hour ago, I sent you an amendment to the agenda, and I'll send out a look at that. I can read that if you want. It's fairly brief. I move to put the following items from the closed session agenda on tonight's open session agenda after item six, which is the IED report. First, part of the executive session agenda, item four, the IED update on the unpaid property taxes for KPFA. Also part of the executive session agenda, item four, motion number one on a source of funds for a bond to forestall the auction of the KPFA property.
Point of order, Mr. Chair. The member is reading off the agenda for closed session.
Yeah, that's improper, Mr. Crozier. You're correct.
Wrong, Mr. Crozier.
Well, I'm not reading the whole motion. I'm just...
Well, you shouldn't even be reading anything unless the board agrees to that.
It's
improper.
I think this is out of order.
Okay, may I make the motion without reading that? I emailed it. I make that motion to amend the agenda to move those items, which I think should be discussed publicly, into put them on the open session agenda. And then we can still, if there's anything confidential we need to discuss in executive session, we can still do that.
Well, Mr. Crozier, we already have those topics on the open session agenda, so we will be discussing what is not confidential in the open session. So presumably, if they're on the closed session agenda, they're there because there are some confidential matters relating to those topics that we wish to discuss in closed session.
Well, I don't see them on the open session agenda.
Well, I believe they're going to be touched on by the IED report. Let me confirm that with the IED. Lydia?
Hi.
Will you be covering those topics in your presentation?
Well, which topics? I'm unclear. I just walked in out of Russia.
The tax situation at KPFA. And what was the other item, Mr. Crozier?
Well, there's motion one and two. I guess I'm not supposed to, from item four.
I guess I'm not supposed
to say what those
Mr.
are.
Mr. Chair, as part of my point of order, can I just explain it to Lydia?
Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. Lydia, Bill Crozier is requesting that we put the closed session items on the open session agenda. I raised a point of order about that.
No, I heard that. I had just missed the part of what specifically he was wanting on the open session. I'm going to have a question and answer portion. So if people have questions about what I have I will be guided by what is appropriate in open session and what attorneys have asked be in closed session.
Yeah, just to explain, Lydia, I believe that you would be covering what could be made known publicly about those topics in the open session.
That's correct.
That's what I tried to explain to Mr. Crozier.
Hello, Renee. I'm on.
Thank you, Renee. We'll be getting to you in a couple of minutes, I think.
Okay. I'll just mute my microphone.
Okay.
Point of information, Robin.
Yes, Robin.
How is that going to be all covered in 7 minutes? It's allotted to the IED report. In fact, how can the IED report be so short? We don't have any financial information about
the... This is the time to, you know, this is the one we're discussing the agenda. If you feel that item should have longer period, you can ask to amend the draft agenda.
Well, I'm not sure Bill's finished with his amendment, but I'll make a motion to extend the
right. All right. Well, let me ask Mr. Crozier if he's finished with his amendment, and then I'll get to you. Mr. Crozier,
I was going to say what Robin said, so I'll withdraw mine if Robin can make his motion, because we clearly need more than 7 minutes to discuss all this stuff in open session.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Collier, do you want to make an amendment?
I move that we extend items on the agenda from 7 minutes to 15 minutes.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Bill, second.
Hello?
Okay. Are there any objections to extending that agenda item from 7 minutes to 15 minutes? Okay, seeing no objections, that amendment is accepted.
Belongs to the stack.
Okay, Mr. Reyes.
Thank you, Chair. So I'd like to make a motion that we extend by 15 minutes the time to close this session, this open session. This way we can have time, because we're already late on getting to Renee and all of that. So I'd like to extend the open session to 15 minutes now before we scramble to extend time without time being available. So that's my
so you want to change the time certain for going to closed session from 10 to 10:15? Is that what you want to do?
Yes, Chair. That's what I want to do.
Okay. Do we have a second for that?
Robin will second that.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. Seeing no objections, that amendment is accepted.
Thank you.
How are we doing on time for this topic?
I'm taking the sack for people.
Sorry. Actually, we're up. It's we're out of time for agenda approval.
We're out of time for agenda. So then we have to vote now on the agenda as amended. Are there any objections to approving the agenda as amended? Seeing no objections, the agenda as amended is approved. And the next item is the report from the National Election Supervisor. Excuse me, I'm jumping ahead. It's the...
Minutes approval.
Minutes approval. And then we get to the... Okay. We have minutes from the January 30th open session. Are there any corrections? Okay, the minutes, do we have a motion to approve the minutes from the January 30th open session?
I make a motion to approve the minutes from January 30th.
Second.
Second. Okay, we have a second. Is there any objection? Remember, they can always be corrected later. Seeing no objections.
We had like four versions sent, and I haven't had time to review them. The last two were just sent a little before the meeting today.
So you want to abstain? Or
just what? Abstain, yes.
Okay. Are there any other objections? Okay. Then the January 30th minutes are approved, subject to further correction. Okay. Renee, it's your turn now. We now go to a report from the National Election Supervisor, and that's a 30-minute item, and that will include questions and answers. Go ahead, Renee.
Okay. So I sent out just a brief summary to everybody just about an hour ago. Did everybody get that?
Yes, I did.
Yes? Okay.
I got it.
Okay, great. So basically, I'll just develop that a little bit. Right now, the timeline still stands as proposed. The vendors have received notice from NIDA that their payments are on the way, but they haven't actually received the payments yet. So if they don't receive them by Monday, then the whole thing will have to be shifted, because that's the last day to make this possible. In terms of the timeline, it's looking good right now. We'll know Monday if this is the final timeline. And that's based on whether or not, they get the payment. And so besides that, besides the payment, the other deliverables for the vendors, all the finalized lists by the 10th, I'm still waiting on a final staff list from KPFK, KPFA, and WBAI. And it's kind of important that I get those. So if anybody, you know, on this call can, you know, help, you know, get this task completed over the weekend. I've been in touch with everybody, you know, that in management that are, you know, in charge of, well, that's the thing. It's a little bit complicated. Quincy is out of the office until Tuesday, so he can't actually approve the list. So I'm relying on Maria and Anthony and Adrian from unpaid for the unpaid staff, Maria for the paid staff. And from my understanding, it's gone out, you know, to unpaid staff listserv to make sure that everybody is on there. But I'll have to submit a list without, you know, Quincy's approval because he's not in the office until Tuesday, and I need to give them this by Monday. So KPFK, I've been in touch with Ollie. I think he found like 5 duplicates and he removed some people who were deceased. But he, you know, also reached out to, you know, Kevin and, Aniel and whoever else might be able to help finalize the KPFK list. And I'm in touch, you know, with Bertold for the WBAI list, and he told me he had a few people he was adding. So it's in process, but I just need the fire to be lit under people's, you know, but, for those lists. And ballot design, I'm actually going to complete that and give them those, the text and the postcard graphic design tomorrow. That's that for the moment for the deliverables for the vendors. In terms of the ballot strategy, so there's a sort of a three-part strategy here so that we capture as many people's preference, you know, to basically make sure everybody gets the ballot type that they want. I decided that we'll just, you know, right off the bat, give people who requested paper ballots in the last election paper ballots. And I think that'll actually address a lot of the paper ballot requests. And then I'll open up a paper ballot request form and an election line to voicemail line to collect any additional paper ballot requests. But I'll only open that line after the ballot period opens. And the reason for that is I don't want that the form or the voicemail to get flooded by messages from people who are actually already getting a paper ballot. Because what happened last time is I thought, oh, let me think ahead and, you know, put the message, you know, put this message out there, and what ended up happening was I was flooded with irrelevant requests, and that delayed the whole, you know, the basically the first issuing. And since we have a shorter timeline, I think that's a better strategy, and that's why I'm waiting to open that form and the election voicemail. And then for the remaining, the basically everybody else, depending on if we have a valid email. So basically everybody else will get an email for those that we have valid emails for. And I'm running an e-campaign to collect any, basically I'm running an e-campaign ahead of giving the list so that, you know, there's always some amount of bounces. So everybody that bounces from that e-campaign will end up also getting a postcard. So, and just as the past election cycle, I'll process the ballot requests throughout the 30-day period. The paper ballot requests, I didn't get a firm date as to what day we can issue paper ballots, but it's logical that we won't be able to. I think we'll have to stop about a week ahead of time. So that puts us like at March 12th to close the paper ballot requests, but the electronic ballot requests will be available through basically midday on March 19th. So for the campaign, This is a new, obviously, I've never done, you know, a vote like this. So I thought the way to structure the campaign would be a series of 60-second educational cards presenting, you know, one main change and then an argument for and against within that same 60 seconds. And my idea was to put out basically a list of these main changes as I to have summarized, simplified them. And obviously, you know, I'm open for feedback. If anybody wants to add one to the list, you know, or change the way something's wording, I'm worded, I'm totally open for that. And ask those for and against to provide single sentence arguments for and against the change. And then I'll create, I'm not sure how many yet it's going to be, but it'll be a series of cards so that basically a single 60-second card will have both, you know, just, you know, the educational, just informational piece, which is what the change is, and then one argument for and one argument against. And I'll basically over the weekend, I think, send out, you know, an email to everybody that I have to collect, you know, these arguments for and against from current LSB members, listener members, and staff members. So I'll take advantage of that first e-campaign to basically check the quality of the emails to put out this message. And then I thought I have no problem doing a debate at KPFA, a couple of debates, because I'm physically here. I really, really don't want to travel to KPFK or any of the other stations. Traveling is super expensive and it's tiring, and I think it's unnecessary. I think that if we have people that want to participate at the debate, in the debate, if people want to participate in the debate, they can call in. And then also there won't be any live call-ins, but I'll also make an effort, just like for the way the other debates were structured, to collect questions from listener members and staff members, and also produce a card for those who don't have access to that e-campaign. And when I was thinking about the fair campaign provisions, and I mean, there's not much that I can do, but I think what I can do is just develop a document that just states that all station staff refrain from covering the bylaws proposal vote outside of the materials that I provide, and just circulate it to station staff and management, and that's, you know, the extent of the fair campaign provisions that for this vote. And the other thing I wanted to mention is in terms of the court motion on the 14th, I'll be available. I understand it's a teleconference call, and, you know, I can just, you know, be there and just, you know, be there. And if the lawyers or the judge has any questions, I'm there. And I know there's a specific request, you know, one of the main things. Now, it's a little, how to say, to add two more volunteer election supervisors is going to be a pain in the butt for me, because I work around the clock, and to have to, I mean, it's just, and given the tight time frame, you know, it's going to make my job extremely difficult and to get things done. But if it's the right people, and they're going to be helpful and they're skilled at either, you know, things like, you know, helping me make sure that I captured all of the ballot requests and keeping in touch with, you know, basically if anybody has questions and making phone calls and just all the technical side of things, as well as just making sure I'm dotting all my I's and crossing all the T's for everything, then that makes sense. But I need to be in charge of this. Otherwise, it's going to be a mess, given I won't be able to do my job, essentially. There is one person I wanted to propose, who I've worked with before. She's great. She's, you know, a young woman. She's very good with data and with making phone calls and just good. Yeah. And I can send her resume. And And yeah, I think that's about it for me. I'm open for questions now.
Lawrence to the stack.
Okay, I'll take a stack right now. Lawrence, who else?
This is Lydia.
Lydia. Do you want to be on a stack or do you want to make this?
Yeah, sorry, to the stack. Sorry.
Who else?
James.
James. Anybody else? All right. I'll put myself on the stack after James. And if we have time, we'll take another stack. We probably run out of time. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you. Renee, thank you for coming, accepting the invitation to be on this call. I have some difficulties, and I hope that you would reconsider just doing a debate at KPFA and not nowhere else in the station, in the network, because I believe that violates the fair campaign provisions in regards to everybody having an equal amount of access to all the resources during an election. So I'm hoping that you will reconsider that, and somehow, if there's any way I can help and assist to hold debates and forums throughout the network. And I know that's a big undertaking, so I understand what you're saying, but I really would like you to reconsider that because, you know, why makes KPFA so special that other stations in the network cannot participate in those kind of in a kind of debate like that. Then my other question is the cost, the total amount of cost. I would like the listeners to know how much we're spending on this whole election, and mm-hmm. and then that's it. Thank you.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, I'll definitely consider the debates. I wasn't saying that it would only be at KPFA. I'm just saying that I would host it at KPFA, and we can have, you know, we can have call-ins that it's high quality, but it would be pre-produced at any of the stations. I imagine it would all be pre-produced. I'm just saying from a logistical standpoint to host them at KPFA, I'm not saying that it would only be amongst KPFA members. It would be open to, because this is a nation, these are, you know, two parallel nationwide elections, right, amongst staff and amongst listener members, right? So the idea, it's better that we have participation across the stations, you know? But what I was recommending is that, you know, the two sides basically, they pick who they want to represent them for these debates. And it doesn't matter if the person is physically at KPFA or not. That's not what I meant at all. I just meant that it's just, I think that we can save that money and also my energy from making those, because even just going to LA, it's a trip, you know, and the time frame doesn't allow me to have downtime. So I that's what I was saying, but I definitely think that people should participate at all of the stations. And then for the cost, I think also there was also a question about my election report from last time. So I actually have a draft. It's not finished. And what I'm thinking is I can just append this piece to the report as a whole. I really want to give everybody a really good report, a thorough report, and it just seems to tumble into this next piece without really giving me, I wasn't able to finish it, but I will finish it. I'm bound by contract to finish it. And I can add, my idea is to do a very thorough cost breakdown like I did for the last one in 2018. And it will include also this piece. And but in terms of the cost for this election, how much this election is costing, I have no problem, you know, putting that on the website if that addresses your question. That could be done immediately, pretty much.
Thank you. That would address my concern. Thank you so much.
Okay, no problem.
Lydia?
Yeah, so I think, Renee, I think we're still in the neighborhood of 50,000, are we?
Members?
No, $50,000.
Cost-wise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's approximately that. It's actually, I think, yeah, it's right around there. I don't think it's going to go beyond that unless, of course, we start adding a bunch of travel costs.
Mm-hmm.
Like that'll definitely increase, you know, plane tickets, places to stay, and it just doesn't make any sense.
Okay. What I was going to recommend was that we have either debates in each signal area with two sides at each signal area. The listeners are usually responsive to people they know from the board and so forth because of the elections, right? So even though it can also be done just like this call is being done, and of course there are others that include FaceTime with it, you know, other services that you would be able to see the people as well if you chose to. But at the moment, we could do what I was going to recommend is rather than host it at one particular station, is to either have two sides at each station for different times that you have this, so it would be five debates, or that you could have one debate with chosen representatives from each of the five stations, just like we do on this call. This call facilitates 22 people. So, you know, easily it would be equivalent to what this call is in order to have a debate. And we have this Maestro system where it helps you, it does help have more orderly process. So I would like you to consider that. I think there are a number, there will be mounting objections to just doing it, even if you include other people. How inclusive can that be, and why can't it just be done from your phone like you're doing now? We can hear you perfectly, and recorded, and it can be, if people want to hear it later, they can, because it can be posted at all five stations, but it would include representation, two representatives from each station. That would be my humble recommendation.
Okay, so what you're saying is, like, basically, instead of trying to produce it at a station, I could literally create just create a teleconference call,
mm-hmm.
and people video conference in if they want to, and basically moderate a series of five, one at each station.
Or have one like you're having tonight, right, with two people from each station. Right, which is equivalent to what we have tonight, which is 22 people, let's say. Not that they're all here, but it facilitates that. So what I'm saying is our audio system facilitates that, and it records it so that when we post it, it's doable because we do that with our meetings.
Okay. I mean, I've definitely considered that. That sounds like a good idea.
But you're correct. Or the other way is to do it at each station with two sides at each station, again, using the same teleconferencing mode, or we just had a mediation process with video conferencing as well. So I'm just offering that as an option. I just am trying to avoid the pitfalls of of what Pacifica is known for. So I'm going to stop right there. Thank you.
Okay. I mean, that sounds good. I think, though, that the structure, even whatever it is, I think it's best to have two people per side because one person against one person is just not, you know, I don't really think that that's good enough. I think there should be at least four people who run each side. Okay, I'm open to doing that.
James, you're next.
Ralph for the stack.
Bill for the stack.
Thank you. I want to say that many of my concerns were also addressed by Lawrence's questions and also by Renee's response. Obviously, I think a concern of doing this out of one station where you would have producers or staff, using the facilities of a particular station might lead to problems. So I think that the conference call idea is a good one. I'm a little concerned, though, about, and I wasn't clear, I thought I heard Renee say at one point that there would be four people, two from each side, but does that mean from each station there's going to be four people, and then those debates would be individual for each station, or we're going to have one big debate with 20 people?
30
seconds.
I appreciate an answer. Thank you.
Yeah, that was the idea to have, that's what, Lydia was recommending, to have at least one per station, because listeners will be more likely to relate to, someone who they know the voice of, essentially. I understand that. My original idea was just to have a couple of debates that included participants from across stations. But I'm not stuck to any one, one form. I think both would work. So, yeah.
Thank you, Renee. I appreciate that. So hopefully, perhaps, I don't know how to get back to us on this before you make any final decisions, but I hope perhaps to put something out that we would have a chance to respond to before you go into a final decision. And but I appreciate your clarification on that. That was good.
Okay. Renee, I wanted to just say one thing and ask a couple of questions. First, I just want you to know that the Pacifica's legal counsel will oppose any attempt by those who are suing Pacifica to muzzle you in any way or to take away your right to make all the final decisions in this referendum process, and that's the procedure that's outlined in our bylaws. So we will oppose any of those attempts in court. And the other thing I want to say is that when you give the estimate of the cost, those are the costs from your end, but it should not be forgotten that the cost of this referendum also includes some very significant legal costs for Pacific.
Right.
And we don't know the total bill yet, but it will be considerable. Finally, I'd like to ask you if the court requires us to have another 4 weeks of this referendum in case a quorum is not met in the 30 days.
Fine.
Do you have any estimate of how much that would add to the costs?
We have to speak to the vendors. And then there's, my cost, it's not going to be as much as, it really depends the extent of the workload. If it means creating more debates, more carts, doing a lot more production versus just doing, ballot requests, and also the vendors, it'll vary, it'll be variable. But a whole extra month is between myself and the vendors is probably going to be another $15,000. But it's not going to be a huge amount of money, but that is a significant amount of money. I'm hoping that we can reach quorum in 30 days. That's what I'm going to push for, and I'm going to do my best to make sure that stations have as many materials as they need to to put on the air, and that I, you know, and that I'm just, you know, on top of ballot requests. And, you know, I mean, I'll do my best to make sure we reach quorum. That's, you know.
This is Lydia.
Okay. Yeah, Lydia, before we return to the stack, do you have something you want to add?
No, I have a stack, to the stack.
Okay, put you back on the stack. Ralph, you're next.
Two questions. Why, when the voting ends at noontime, why could that not be 9 p.m.? And what
it's
time?
It's just a logistical... It's a logistical issue. It's not that I don't want to. It's that noon. So basically, noon is for ballot requests from members that are not that don't make it on the list. Because what I have to do is I have to contact each membership department at each station to verify these members, and they have to then respond to me, and then I have to send that to the vendors. To simply voting to then issue them, you know, their voter credentials. And then once they issue them their voter credentials, they have until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to vote. And the reason it's 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is, again, a logistical issue. 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Because, one thing is that I physically don't want to, you know, I'm not going to work a 16-hour day, you know. I've done that before for Pacifica. It's not worth it. I'm already doing enough, and I'm already going to be working probably a 12-hour day that day. And I'm doing everything. I'll do everything ahead of time, you know, to make sure that there's not a whole, you know, run for ballots at the very last minute. But for the close of the request, what I mean by that is requests from people who aren't already on the list, and so I'll keep helping people that aren't on the list. It's not that I'm going to shut down the form. I'll shut down the form at 8:59, basically. Or actually, no, that doesn't make sense because people, you know, I'll shut down the form with 1 hour to go or whatnot. I don't remember what I did last time, actually. But anyway, I'll be very specific at what time, you know, the ballot request form will be shut down. But what I mean is, when the message goes out, you know, people who are left off of the list, it's not clear whether or not they were left off of the list, like really left off of the list. And in that case, I have to go back and forth between the membership departments, and it's 5 stations, right? Or if it's because they just there was a bad email, or their address had changed, so they didn't get their postcard and they're already in the system, and it's just a matter of me issuing their credentials. Those are two very, very different things. So I just want to make clear to people that there is, you know, there is a cutoff, and to please you know, respect that cutoff, so that in either case I will be able to, you know, either add them to, you know, the member roles if they weren't on them before, or issue them their voter credentials. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I got you, Jerry. Mm-hmm. That answers the question.
Okay.
One more time, but can I move to extend 10 minutes so we can do a little bit more Q&A?
You may do so.
Okay, I move to extend this item for 10 minutes.
Is there a second?
Dan Goodman, second.
Okay, are there any objections to extending for 10 minutes this segment? Okay, seeing no objections, we have 10 more minutes. Bill, you have the floor next.
Okay, thank you. Well, first, thanks, Renee, and I just wanted to kind of get verification. You know, the board last week, at the last meeting, approved a plan that basically pretty much guaranteed that the election wouldn't be fair in regard to carts. So from what you were saying, it sounds like you are going to have provisions to have equal time for people for and against. Is that correct? Both on carts and any other on-air announcements or discussion? Is that correct?
Well, yeah, I mean, the idea that I have to ensure that it's fair is that within a single cart, there will always have to be both sides presented so that there isn't by mistake, you know, in quotation marks, you know, one versus the other getting played more. It's just any cart that goes on will either be purely informational, like just about, okay, vote by this date or, you know, or include, you know, a specific educational cart that will present one argument for and one argument against. That was the idea that I had to make sure that the carts were giving, you know, both sides a fair, you know, just a fair chance at getting the message out.
Okay, thank you. And I don't think you should necessarily constrain yourself to 1 minute, especially if you're going to have both sides on there. It's not going to give people much time to say anything. So,
that's why it'll be a series. And the reason that it is 1 minute is just that's the format of the carts at the stations. That's the format. I think that that's also people's attention span. So that's why it'll be a series, and I'm not sure how many there'll be, but the whole point is that we want to make, you know, people who don't know, you know, we want to make sure that we're able to simplify and be concise, you know.
Okay, I just wanted to develop into slogans like we get on TV.
That's why also the debate will be important, because that'll allow, you know, for more in-depth discussion. Originally, I was thinking that there would be no debate, but then in thinking it, I thought, you know, there has to be debates, actually.
Okay, well, I'm probably out of time. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay, Lydia?
No, I withdraw my question. Thanks.
Okay.
I had a request for the stack.
Let's see if anybody else wants to be on the stack who hasn't spoken yet first. Anybody? Okay. Nobody else wants to? Go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just wanted to know. Thank you. I wanted to know from Renee if there was going to be any way for her to verify that information offered by one side or another was accurate, or, you know, at least had some kind of truth in it, because there might be problems along those lines, as maybe some would already say there have been. And also, I wanted to know if there was going to be, as with other elections, there's frequently been a request for donations to help cover the cost of the election, and I thought perhaps some of the proponents of this expense might be willing to make a donation if there was such a request with the ballots.
Uh-huh. I think we always put some sort of language into the, you know, the, like, all of the e-campaigns anyway that we've sent out. There's always a donate now button. Are you saying that you'd like to see like actually in the body of the ballot? Is that what you're saying?
It was just a question. I think you answered it. It was good. It was a voting question.
What about the other question,
which was how to verify the validity of the article put forward?
I guess this is going to be a case-by-case basis. I mean, obviously, I don't want to put out alternative facts on, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, there is a difference between, the thing is, I don't know what people's arguments for and against, what people are actually going to send me. And that's why I want to put out, you know, this open request for, and then it's up to me really to, you know, to get you to make a judgment. Now, you know, that's a difficult question, and I really think that it's going to have to be looked at on a, you know, on a case by case basis in terms of making sure that, you know, I mean, there doesn't exist. How to say something that is true is true, and something that is not true, right? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know how else to, I guess I need to see that first. So far, I mean, this is all theoretical at this point. I haven't seen what people are going to submit, right? So I'm, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, people will have valid for and valid against for each change, and you know, and I think that, I guess we'll cross that bridge when it comes. And if I need help, you know, in terms of trying to figure out if something is factually correct, I'm capable to do research and figure things out, I mean, I wouldn't want to put out anything that's not factually correct. But anyway,
I thank you for that, Renee, and I know you had to have struggled to be fair in the past, and I hear from your response that you're thinking about how to be fair in this context, and I appreciate that.
Bill for the stack.
Yeah. Okay, I heard Lawrence wants to be on the stack, and then I heard Bill.
Yes.
Please don't speak out when
Dwayne.
Speaking. And Dwayne, okay. Okay, Lawrence, go ahead.
Yeah, you could go with Dwayne because he hasn't spoken. I could go after Dwayne.
Okay, Dwayne, go ahead.
Well, thank you. Renee, I'd like to thank you for reconsidering the importance, notwithstanding the fairness, of all five stations being able to speak to their audiences as we were elected by the specific areas. And I frankly would say to you that the people in Houston would not be influenced as much by what someone from KPFA would say, either way. So I think it's more than important, whether you're present or not, or whether you proxy it out to someone else. There are many more capable people of being fair who have radio experience in the Houston market, particularly who can be a host. Now, on the other hand, I think that it's very important also that the courts, while there may be, as you say, a format of 1 minute, I take issue with the fact that people have a one minute lifespan, a 1 minute attention span, because there are such things called infomercials, and they sell tens of hundreds of millions of dollars worth of advertisements. So obviously, some folk have a long attention span, and as it relates to those who would want to be interested in voting this particular item, I beg to argue we probably would struggle with 11%, 15%, but of that, the 11 or 15%, they're pretty much political junkies. So this is the audience. This, our audience for these courts are for the people who are going to be interested in engaging in this process, not the 80% that won't. So I would caution you to, while you can't do 2 minute or 3 minute or 5 minute courts, and nor would I suggest it, but I do think there ought to be an inordinate and an extremely amount of rotation with respect to these courts, because this is the only means, and I repeat, this is the only means, and I repeat for a third time, because they say if you hear something 3 times, you may remember it. This is the only means most folk will have to make a decision, because they're not going up on a website, short of the other side, who have more money than the other side, sending out 2 or 3 pieces of mail. This is the only opportunity members will have for information to make up their mind. And last, I would say that I think you're getting in the weeds as the NES, trying to determine what's true and what's not true. And on the election, put it out there and let people make that determination.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, that's the thing is, thank you. I mean, the thing is, I didn't mean to like say that people only have 1 minute attention spans, but what I wanted to say is I think the most effective messages are short and concise, and I think both sides should be able to summarize that. But I do think that you bring up a good point that, you know, I can provide different formats, but I do know from a just a technical standpoint that the people putting things into rotation like that 1 minute format. It makes it their lives easier. So I know that things will get on air if they fit that format. So that's, I'm kind of talking from both, you know what I mean? That's why. But at the same time, you know, I can also make available something that's, say, 5 minutes long, you know, and say, okay, here is, you know, the 1 minute cards, here are the 5 minute long ones. I mean, I'm open to making both cuts. And also to just address what you were saying about, you know, making a judgment call. Again, I haven't seen, you know, I haven't seen the information, like I haven't seen the arguments. So this, again, I think that's the thing about being election supervisor. I mean, you want to make sure that everybody has a fair, anyway, I don't want to speak too much on that matter, but I just want to say I'm going to do my best to be fair and just deal with things on a case to case basis. If it does come to that. I mean, I don't want to censor anybody. I mean, it's not my job to do that. But I don't want to either produce something that's a lie. I mean, that's a lie. I mean, a lie is a lie. So.
Okay. Chair, do I have the stack now?
Yes, go ahead.
Move to extend.
We're 2 minutes over time for this item.
Move to extend.
5 minutes?
Yes.
Okay, we have a motion to extend for 5 minutes. Do we have a second? Do we have a second?
I second, Lawrence.
Who made the motion?
James.
I thought James made the motion.
I did.
Okay. Oh, okay, I thought. All right, now, are there any objections? Okay.
This is Secretary. Can you email the motion? The Secretary?
Email what motion? Just an emotion
to extend
for 5 minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood.
Okay.
Is this your
point of information, Ms. Bill?
What is your point of information?
Isn't this going to restrict the time for the IED report because we'll run into the German time for the meeting, even with its
extension? Yes, of course it will.
So is extending time only for this item, or does it also extend the meeting? Because that's my question.
We already extended the meeting, Bill.
Okay, you can't make a motion after asking questions, so you're out of order at this point. I object
if we're not going to extend the meeting because we'll end up cutting short the ID report.
Let's go to a vote on extending to 5 minutes. Madam Secretary, can you take the roll?
Yes.
Grace? You there?
Sorry, I was muted. Grace Aaron votes yes. Robin Collier?
No.
Chris Corey?
Same.
Hey, Bill Crozier?
No.
All right. Donald Goldmacher? Jan Goodman?
No.
Okay. Rhonda Garner?
No.
Right. Sabrina Jacobs?
No.
Okay. Wally James?
No.
Right. Dwayne Lark? All right. Martha Peterson?
Yes.
Okay. Ron Pinchback?
Yes.
Okay. Ralph Pointer?
Yes.
Okay, Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
All right, Sean Rhodes?
No.
Okay, Eileen Rosen?
No.
Okay, Master Sabah? All right, James Sagerton?
Yes.
All right, Nancy Sorden?
Same.
Okay, Alex, Tom Voorhees?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to count these up. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, yes. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, no. And we have 2 abstentions. Chair, do you wish to vote?
My vote is moot at this point. This requires a 2/3 to pass, so I'm not voting.
Okay. All right, the motion fails.
Okay. Thank you, Renee. I guess we're finished with this portion of the meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.